sin. Because in God's eyes, sin is sin. So he brought me from the sin of self-righteousness. He brought me from the sin of self-preservation. He brought me from the sin of religiosity. He brought me from the sin as I thought I had enough of God. Do I need to go on? Wow. I mean, I could talk about some of the other things that life brings when we make bad decisions. But you see, the main thing that he brought me from was my rejection from his lordship. You realize that's what keeps most people from being saved today, the thing called lordship. They don't want to give control to Jesus Christ. They don't want to go to hell. Anybody in here want to go to hell? I don't think there's anybody sitting in here that wants to go to hell. How many want to go to heaven? I think everybody would raise your hand and say, yeah, I want to go to heaven. How many want him to be Lord of your life? Well, you know, I mean, you know, I got some plans. I've got some desires, you know. And that's, hell's full of people with good plans, good desires, and a bowl full of good intentions. But heaven's going to be full of people who said, yes, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to take control of my life because it's out of control. That's the hardest thing to say is my life's out of control. You can be raised in church all your life and your life can still be out of control. Why? How can that happen, Brother Pepper? Because he's not in control. And anytime we are in control, it is out of control, whether we realize it or not. And the only time our life's in control is when he is leading our lives. Praise God. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm preaching so much this morning. I'm loving it. Hallelujah. I'm loving the presence of our God is what I'm loving. Hallelujah. And I made mention to you the last time I did share something with you. It's not hard to preach at all. Not when you know Jesus. Not when all my life he's been so good. Not because when all my life he's been faithful. I can stand here and I can talk to you about God all day long. Amen. Hallelujah. But I do want to share this message with us this morning. Thankful for the opportunity to be in God's house. Appreciate everyone that's here this morning. We do have a lot that are still sick, battling sickness, a lot that are absent this morning. I mean, if we get everybody here, we're running about 55 to 58. But we're running them. We're not catching most of them. And I mean, in reality, we're running about 2,000. We got a big church here in Chelsea. Because we're running about 2,000, we're catching about 55 of them. Amen. I like to look at it that way. I don't know if you do or not. But there's souls out there that need Jesus. And a lot of them really want Jesus, but they're in that valley of decision that I was just talking about. Oh, man, letting him take control of my life. Best thing you could ever do in your entire life is let Jesus Christ take control of it. Amen. First scripture here this morning. And the message, it's amazing what can happen. It's found in Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 18. Amen. I trust everyone had festive Thanksgiving times of fellowship with friends and family. I trust that everybody ate until you were full. And full and full. Praise God. It was a time of feasting. It was a time of celebration of all that goodness of God. I don't know whether I said Exodus 33 or Ezekiel 33. It's Exodus 33, verse number 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Amen. You can be seated again. This morning. First thing I want to talk about here just for a little bit is desire. Desire. Yeah. This is Moses. This is the Moses that brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. This is the Moses that raised his rod and things happened. Woo. This is the Moses that brought all the plagues down on the Pharaoh and his people in the land of Egypt. This is the Moses that led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt with a high hand of God. I mean, this is God's man. This is a man that has been talking with God. He's been communicating with God. He's been used by God. But he still has more desire. He still has more desire. And he beseeches God. He prays to God. He asks God. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Well, what in the world has he been seeing? If you will, he's been seeing the power of God. But he's wanting a closer glimpse of his God. He's wanting to see God in his glory, his state of majesty. Hallelujah. He's got a desire for a deeper encounter with his God. Oh, praise God. I want you to wrap your mind around that. I mean, here he is, used by God, speaks with God, does God's command, sees the power of God move, sees God bring the children of Israel out. I mean, you know, wow, he is super Moses, hallelujah, if you will. I mean, according to the kind of the terminology of the day and the hour, this is a super prophet right here. I mean, he has used and moved in the power of God like nobody before him. Think about that. But yet he knows there's more to be known about his God. Hallelujah. Now, has anybody in here turned water into blood? Has anybody in here brought flies and lice and stuff like that down on anybody? Anybody done that in here? Maybe you wanted to, but you know, you just didn't have that power to do that, you know. Especially with an attitude like that. Woo. How many has prayed down frogs beyond compare in the kitchen, in the house, everywhere? I mean, you know, are you getting the picture? He ought to be sitting there saying, man, you know, God, I'm really doing good, aren't I? We get there sometimes, don't we? I mean, we got a victory over some little something that we hadn't got the victory over in 10 years, and we finally got the victory over it. Could have had it 10 years ago, but we finally decided we was wanting it. And now we think we're on cloud nine and super Christian because we got a victory over something that was so simple that should have not even been something we battled with. Woo! Hello. Glory. Here he is being used in the power of God, a mighty prophet of God, a mighty man of God. But he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And of course, to make this long story short, God did. Hit him in the cleft of the rock, passed by him, and he saw his glory. And it's after all this encounter of Moses with God on the mountain that when he came down, his face glowed. Literally glowed. That happens later in the New Testament, whether you realize it or not or remember it or not. There were some other individuals that began to light up with the brightness of his glory. What was that? That was that glory of God that he allowed Moses to see, and it rested upon him. Rested upon him. Hallelujah. Now, Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. I say unto you, Jesus Christ is speaking, our Lord, our Savior. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Depends on how much of a prankster you are, I guess. Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent or snake? Having snake for supper tonight. If he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? You know, he's basically given some illustrations of like, whoa, of course not. That's what he's after right there. No, of course not. No, we don't. We wouldn't act like that. If ye then, and sorry, but you and I are evil. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Wow. See, he just puts this out here right in the middle of nowhere, if you will, to give an understanding of how much God wants to help us and give to us if we will just ask and believe. Praise God. Ask, just like a child asked for food, and we give him food. Amen, unless he's already had three platefuls. I mean, yeah, there's a limit there. Yeah, praise God. But the reality is God's trying to bring across, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. And of course, then you always run into those that say, well, you know, I ask, and you know, I sought, and I even knocked, and are you sure you really did all that the way God designed it to be? Or did you go about it the way you thought would be the easiest for you? It's amazing what can happen when men and women really lay a hold of what it means to ask, what it really means to seek, and what it really means to knock. Because Jesus was letting them know, this is the route, this is the way, this is how the door comes open, this is how the Holy Ghost is received. Do you remember I asked you just a little while ago, how bad do you really want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Does it consume you and your life? Or is it just something that you'll put on the shelf as one of your trophies that I have received, the infilling of the Holy Ghost? Are you really wanting to see His glory? Are you really wanting to experience His love? Are you really wanting to experience His lordship? See, we're back to that again. Hallelujah, because it's a vital, important part of being filled with the Holy Ghost of God, of how serious mankind is about Jesus Christ being the Lord of their lives. If you're not real serious about the lordship of Jesus Christ, then you're not real serious about getting filled with the Holy Ghost of God either, because that is the door that I've got to go through before I can ever be a candidate to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I've got to be born again by the Spirit of God and in full surrender to Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, and want everything that He's got in His kingdom operating in my life. That's what He was talking about. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, the door shall be open. He's talking about the great desire that you will have to see His glory, experience His life, and be everything to you above everything of this world. Woo, praise God. It's amazing what can happen when this criteria is met. Woo, hallelujah. You see, in Luke chapter 9, this is even before Jesus spoke these words. Luke chapter 9, verse 29. And as he prayed, that's not all of it yet, but I just wanted that to sink in. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. This is why, you know, every all the decorations at Christmas time, you know, the angels are white, 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 bright, bright, white lights. You know, I mean, just why? Well, I mean, because this is what happens when God comes on the scene. This is what happens when God starts revealing His glory. And this is what happens. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory. There's that word. And spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. So, here's something I want you to understand. Jesus just went to the mountain to pray. He did not go to the mountain for this experience. He just went to the mountain to pray, as he oft did. But as he prayed, in other words, he was just going through what he normally would do. As he prayed, he was praying to the Father. He was seeking guidance. He was asking. He was seeking. He was knocking. Hallelujah. And as he prayed, then he experienced the glory of his Father. And Moses and Elias, which is Elijah, and they appeared in glory. In other words, the glory that it's talking about was that glistening, glistering white. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And there they begin to talk to him about the will of the Father for his life. In other words, what he was going to encounter at Jerusalem. Wow. It's amazing what can happen when men and women begin to pray like Jesus prays. Think about it. I want you to think about it. I've been thinking about it now for a month. Hallelujah. Praise God. So here's what happened when Jesus prayed. Luke 22:41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed. Now it's given to us what he prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now you realize he's already encountered Moses and Elijah, and they've already gave him the rundown of what's going to transpire, what's going to happen. Giving him the strength, giving him the courage, letting him know the Father's with you. He will not leave you. He'll not forsake you. He's with you. This is for his glory. This is for all mankind. I'm just kind of giving you, my pep talk, what I think happened that day on that Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, they were giving him the rundown and they were encouraging him. Why? Because he was man. He's just like you and me. He was man. He had emotions. He had feelings. He had hurts. He had tragedies in his life. He's experienced every emotion you'll ever experience. He has already experienced. You might say, well, he's never lost a loved one. Oh, yes, he did. Joseph was not on the scene anymore. His earthly father had passed from the scene. Yes, he's lost loved ones. He lost Lazarus, a dearest friend. But God gave him the blessing of bringing him back from the dead. Praise God. But so here he is. He's already experienced that glory of the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration. But now it's coming closer. And it is actually coming to the point in time that it is about to transpire. And we find him asking and seeking and knocking. If there's any way I don't have to go through with this. If there's any way I don't have to go through the pain, the suffering, the agony, and dying on that old rugged cross. But if there's not, he surrendered to the Lordship of the Father. See, that's what makes everything happen right there. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Woo. I want you to know Jesus Christ was asking, seeking, and knocking for the situation to be changed and for the situation to be different. But when the Spirit of God and an angel came and strengthened him, I want you to understand, it didn't change the situation at all. He was still headed for the cross. The pain, the torment, the agony. But what changed? His attitude. He changed. He received that strength. He received those words of encouragement. He believed those words of encouragement, and he took courage and arose from that place and went right into, wow, the thing he was dreading the most. But he could do that now because he had encountered the help of God that changed his mind, his feelings, his emotions, and gave him the courage, the wisdom, and the power to march on. Whew. It's amazing what can happen. Hallelujah. Now, you might want to say in your mind, yeah, but he was Jesus. No, that's not the answer. It wasn't because he was Jesus. It was because he was a man calling on God, and he received what God brought to him so he could march on as the Son of Man. Hallelujah. You got to get that in your head and get that in your mind. What is that? When we say, well, yeah, but he was Jesus, that is making excuse for my lack of surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my heart and in my life. I'm giving myself an excuse for not being stronger than what I am. Because his strength that night didn't come because he was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His strength that night came because he was Jesus, the Son of Man, who was asking, seeking, knocking, and ready to receive whatever the Father was going to bring him. And when the strengthening came, he received it. His mind changed. He wasn't trying to get loose from it now. He was ready to march right on into it, knowing the Father was with him. Ooh, glory to God. I've been there. I don't know whether you have or not, but I've been there. I've had circumstances in my life where I did not want to deal with the circumstance. I did not want to face the circumstance. I didn't even want to be part of the circumstance, but I was. I was there. And so I had to seek, I had to ask, I had to knock. And here's the words that God spoke to me in that situation that I was facing. Stand still and see the salvation of God. And that's exactly what we saw. A mighty, miraculous move of God. Circumstance didn't change. What changed? I did. Those around me did, because we laid a hold of what he just said and we believed God, and God brought a deliverance, and God spared a life. Glory. Hallelujah. It's amazing what can happen. Hallelujah. When we are really serious about hearing from heaven and then operating in what heaven brings to our minds. Hallelujah. He'll quicken his word. He'll bring it alive. And we've got to lay a hold of it. Joshua had to do it multitudes of times. Be strong. Be courageous. God didn't just say that once. He continually, positively affirmed, I'll be with you. Mm-hmm. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 1. Verse number 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, went into an upper room, and there abode both Peter and James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. Now these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren, which means Jesus's brethren, his earthly brothers from his earthly father, Joseph, so his half-brothers. They were all there. That's awesome, isn't it? They were all there. What were they doing there? Well, they were embroidering, making pies and cooking cakes. They were asking and seeking and knocking. They continued in prayer And prayer means worship. That Greek word for prayer right there in that scripture means worship. It means praise. And supplication means guidance, direction, the need. See, the need right then and there was not personal needs, but spiritual needs. We're here. We don't know why we're here. We know what you said. We're waiting. We're praying. We're asking. We're desiring. For 10 days, they prayed. 10 days, they worshiped. Oh, praise God. Maybe we need a 10-day meeting. 10 days, they worshiped. They asked of God, oh, God, bring the Comforter. Bring the Spirit of Truth. Let the Holy Ghost fall upon us. We are ready, oh, God, to be filled with your Spirit. We are ready to receive what you have given to us. I mean, here they are. They're asking. They're seeking. They're knocking. This is going on for 10 days. It's amazing what can happen. All right, those that are seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, have you taken 10 days and done nothing but pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And really got serious about seeking God to be filled with the Holy Ghost because it's in His Word? That's what I did. I mean, I studied every scripture on the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I read every scripture. I read it over and over and over again. I read every commentary that was a true Pentecostal commentary. Hallelujah. Not a commentary by a non-Pentecostal on a Pentecostal subject. Don't work that way. Praise God. In other words, I sought and I sought and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I sought and I sought and I prayed and I prayed and I sought. Why? Well, because it's amazing what can happen when you do that. Hallelujah. Sometimes you don't get the answer the first time. Anybody ever read that in the Bible? About Daniel? So in Acts chapter number 2, so now, you know, Acts chapter number 1, we've got them there in the upper room. They're praying, praising God, worshiping God. They're asking God to send the Holy Ghost. They're asking God to fill them with the Holy Ghost. I mean, you know, that's what they're asking. That's what they're seeking. That is why they're there. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You're not baptized in the Holy Ghost every time you come to the house of God. That should be why you're here. To be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. Because if that's not the desire every time you come to the house of God, you're not going to get filled with the Holy Ghost of God. They wouldn't have got filled with the Holy Ghost had they not stayed in that upper room praying and supplicating. Would they? Because the Bible lets us know he was seen alive of 500 at one time, but on this day, Acts chapter 2, there's only 120 there. That means there's 380 of them missing. Here they are, they're praying, praising God. Worshiping God, asking, seeking, knocking to be filled with the promised Spirit of God. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that means it had arrived. This is interesting. How many remember what day Jesus rose from the grave? Was it the first day of the week? Well, that's what the Bible says on the first day of the week. Yeah, it was. It was the first day of the week. It was on what we would call a Sunday. Well, if you do a little math about when the day of Pentecost arrived, it was 50 days from Passover. 50 days from Passover was the first day of the week. It fell on a Sunday, as you and I would know it. So Christ arose on the first day of the week, which we call Sunday. Pentecost was poured out on the first day of the week, which we call a Sunday. There's a reason I'm sharing that with you. I'll get to it here in a minute. And here they are in their Sunday morning worship. In their Sunday morning praise. in their 10th day of doing this. Hallelujah. Sometimes 2 hours is a long time. In the 10th day of doing this, I don't know whether they stayed up in that upper room 24/7, but it was the first day of the week. It was the day that our Lord rose from the grave, and so there was probably quite a few folks that came on this day just because it became known as the Lord's Day. And so here they are. Now, you got to realize they knew. Even the writer tells us, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. So they were gathering together here, knowing that another feast day had arrived. And, we're just human beings, just like they were human beings. And they're saying, okay, you remember what happened during Passover? Jesus Christ died as a Passover lamb. He rose the third day. Wow. Do you realize this is the feast of Pentecost? Oh, what's going to happen today? What do you think God's going to do today? Oh, my. Their little minds were just rolling. And they're probably praising him even more. You know, they're just human beings, just like you and me. And that would make me want to praise God more. Because here's another feast day. Oh, wow. And you remember what happened on that last feast day. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to our God. They're praising God up here in this upper room for what Christ had already done, realizing it's another feast day, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, it's just like that goodness of God that showed up when I was 6 years old. Suddenly, it was just there. Wow. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there it appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. It's amazing what can happen. Hallelujah. When worship's going on. Oh, from the heart, from the soul, from the mind, hallelujah. You know, just letting those songs of Zion refresh my mind of all the mighty things God has done in my life. Woo, hallelujah. And that's when it's coming from the heart. When your mind starts remembering all the things, when you're singing about all the faithfulness of God and your mind starts remembering all the faithful things God has done in your life, you know you've got true worship going on. But if you're singing that song and it brings nothing to your mind, you do not have true worship going on. You're just going through the motion. You're just singing because everybody else is singing. You're just standing because everybody else is standing. But it's amazing what can happen when the heart and the soul and the mind unite together. You ask and you seek and you knock. Hallelujah. And the glory of God comes down. The presence of God comes down. And he strengthens you, spirit, soul, and body. Woo! Acts chapter 4, verse 31. I got to move on. Amen. And when they had prayed, there's that word again, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Glory. What was this? Well, this was a prayer meeting, another church service. I'm not sure what day this one happened. Maybe midweek service. You never know. You don't show up to midweek service, you never know what goes on in midweek service. Hello. Could have been a midweek service. It's amazing what can happen in midweek service. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? Well, because they were asking, they were seeking, they were knocking. Because they had been threatened and told not to preach Jesus in the city anymore. Wow. And so they all came together and they began to worship God, praising God, because they were worthy to be persecuted for the cause of Christ. Woo! They were rejoicing in their persecution. They were rejoicing in their trials. They were rejoicing in their tribulation. They were rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to be beaten for the cause of Christ. Whoa, glory. These folks had a hold of something, did they not? Hallelujah. I mean, we just whine and complain about everything that goes on anymore, don't we? I mean, we just whine and whimper, oh my, I got to go through another trial again. Well, get it right this time, and maybe that in the past. Oh, glory. Amen. Ask and seek and knock until the answer comes and the directive comes, and then walk therein, and you'll be rejoicing just like these disciples were. Amen. And because they were rejoicing about the circumstance, they weren't complaining about how hard it was and how bad it hurt. Wow. They were rejoicing because they were counted worthy to go through that and still be victorious. And as they are praising God there, as they are offering supplication there, it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Not only that, it says the place was shaken. Now, I don't know whether that was the literal building or that was everybody else in the building having a Holy Ghost meltdown. Yeah, the place was shaken. That could mean they were running, they were jumping, they were rolling. That just means they were responding to the Spirit. That, you know, I mean, it could have been the building. Because, I mean, he shook the walls of that prison for Paul and Silas. I mean, he shook the walls of the gates for Peter to come out. It could have been the building, but it could have been the people, too. They were so shaken by the power of God that they were worshiping in a magnitude they'd never found before. The whole place was shaken. Woo! Now, that's up for interpretation. I understand that. But I have seen God do that. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And here's what it produced. And they spake the word of God with boldness. They just couldn't help but go out and share more about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. They couldn't but go out and face the persecution that was waiting them in the streets again. That's power. That's experiencing the glory of God. What is that? That is relinquishing self to the place of spirit control and lordship of Jesus Christ, where you are more concerned about being obedient to God than you are about your well-being or how convenient it is for you. Wow. I got to move on. Whoa, I got to move on. I've just been preaching and preaching and preaching here and not even watching the clock. Can you believe that, Gabe? I haven't even been watching the clock. I'm not a clock watcher, if anybody hasn't realized. I've had a clock on the back of our church wall for 20 years, and I could tell you that I probably looked at it, you know, maybe once or twice in a church service. Amen. The only time I look at the clock is when it's time to start and everybody's still talking. But when it comes time to end, well, I'm the one in control of that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, hopefully the Lord's in control of that. I'll put it like that. All right. Last scripture. Well, no, I got a couple more, but we'll read this one. How many love the book of Revelation? Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet. Wow. It's amazing what can happen. Now, I want to point out some things here. John was already in the Spirit because it was the Lord's day. It was the first day of the week. That's what became known as the Lord's day, was the first day of the week. You see, I mean, when Paul said, I become like the Jew to win the Jew and the Gentile to win the Gentile. So, you know, the Apostle Paul was a Saturday man and a Sunday man. Matter of fact, he was every day of the week man. Praise God. Hallelujah. But he didn't have a problem going in to the synagogue on the Sabbath when the Jews still went to church to go in there and share with them Jesus Christ. And he would go into that synagogue. Go read Book of Acts. He'd go into that synagogue on Saturday. That was their Sabbath day. He would go in there and he would let them talk and share things. And he would just wait for his turn. And he would do this for several weeks in a row until they finally say, oh, do you have something to say? Oh, praise God. Just waiting for his opportunity to share Jesus Christ and dispute the scriptures. And you got to realize he'd go through all the Old Testament scriptures and show them Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. And he would win some of them to Jesus, and some of them would get madder than a hornet and they'd want to stone him. But he loved it. Woo, he loved it. And so here's John. He's on the Isle of Patmos. We know this from history. He's been put there because he's preached Jesus Christ and caused uproars where he's went to. And so they've banished him out here. You know, you got to really think about this. They've banished him out here to the place where murderers are, evil men are, where wild beasts are. There's not a prison out here. There's not a kitchen out there. There's not a restroom out there. There's nothing there but this island and the rocks and the hills. Nothing. I mean, nothing. He's having to fend for his own food. I mean, whoa. I mean, he doesn't have a Walmart. He doesn't have a grocery store. He doesn't have a dollar store. I mean, you know, you don't have a convenience store to go get a Red Bull. But here he is on church morning, already in the Spirit of God, already praising God, already worshiping God, already magnifying God, already asking, already seeking, already knocking. Hallelujah. I mean, he's already experiencing the presence of the Holy God of heaven through the power of the Holy Ghost. And then he gets this revelation. In other words, the revelation is not what caused him to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It was his desire to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day that got him this revelation. Hallelujah to our God. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And then he just gives him, and then John gives a description, and for the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to read it, but what I want you to understand, he was already having church. He was already worshiping God. He was already drawing nigh to God. He was already asking for a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. It was already in his heart. It was already on his mind. It was what he was after, because it was the Lord's day. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And then that's what happened. Hallelujah. He received from God. And he received far more than he ever dreamed from God that day on that Isle of Patmos. And history shows us that he did get off that island, and he lived to be 90 years old plus. The only original apostle that died of old age. All the rest of them were martyred. He is the only one that died of old age. And of course, you know what Jesus told Peter. What is it if he tarries till I come? Whoa. And literally, many thought that's what was going on. But John died. Now, 2,000 years later, the promise is still the same. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened. There is a way that prayer brings the miraculous. Not just any prayer brings the miraculous. We have to understand that, because I mean, every false religion prays or has a form of prayer. Every dead Christian religion has a form of prayer. But there is a prayer that brings the power, the glory, everything that God wants to bring. When I will ask, and I will seek, and I will knock. Wow. You see, it all takes faith. It takes desire, and then it takes desire coupled with faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My faith doesn't come from just an encounter with the Holy Ghost. I want you to grab a hold of that. Now, my faith is encouraged by an encounter with the Holy Ghost. But what the Holy Ghost is going to do when I encounter him is quicken the word of God. Oh, hallelujah. And so then faith cometh by hearing. It's talking about that original faith in Christ. But it is also the way my faith is going to be increased is as I continue to read God's word, study God's word, and allow the Holy Ghost to quicken it and bring it alive in me. Hallelujah. That's the faith. Because Jude, verse number 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So the Holy Ghost is a vital, important part of praying the prayer of faith, if you will. I mean, this is just a lot of scriptures I'm trying to pull together here to help you and I understand. It is amazing what can happen when we begin to pray in faith. When we begin to pray as the Spirit of God leads our prayers, as we begin to ask, as we begin to seek, as we begin to knock, which speaks of importunity. In other words, we continue until the answer comes. Hallelujah. And we continue to read His Word and allow the Holy Ghost to strengthen us. And I'm going to close. Corrie ten Boom said, I soon discovered that man's importunity is God's opportunity. He uses our problems as building materials for his miracles. I began to understand that this was why my first lesson in learning to trust him completely, my first steps on the path to complete dependence on, obedience to, his guidance. See, this is everything in our life is trying to bring us to the place where we want complete dependence on, complete obedience to His guidance. Having God on the side, so to speak. So it's kind of like, and please don't misunderstand me here, but you know, when you talk food, folks usually understand. It's kind of like when you order a hamburger, your focus is the hamburger. But you get fries on the side, which is not your focus. But you eat them anyway. Your focus and desire is the hamburger. Too many times in our Christian life, Jesus Christ is just the fries. And what we want to do is the hamburger. And we're more concerned about what's convenient for me and what I would like to do and what I want to do with my life. And so we're the hamburger. And we let Jesus be the fries because we don't want to be without Jesus. Because we know, hey, we don't have any life without Jesus. We have nothing without Jesus. And you wouldn't have a combo if you didn't have burger and fries. But the focus is in the wrong place. You have to swap it. Now, there are folks that would rather have the fries than the burger. Those are the folks who get things prayed down from God. If you're following what I'm trying to tell you here this morning, you've got to let Jesus Christ become the focus, the main meal, the main desire, the main longing for, the main of what you're asking for, the main of what you're seeking after, the main one about knocking on the door until He reveals Himself to you so you can have that divine guidance and you can learn to depend upon Him to take you through anything that's coming your way. But if we get our focus in the wrong place and our focus is on on the problem. Our focus is on our convenience. Our focus is on, it just got to change. We're not going to get the help we need from heaven because our focus has got to be on the Lord Jesus Christ and the power that comes down from heaven. And we need to pray and praise and worship him until that glory comes down and that change is arriving in us by his divine guidance. And we now have boldness and power to face anything that comes our way. And some might be saying, wow, Brother Pepper, that sounds like a fantasy land. No, that's Christian land. That's the Christianity Christ died for. That's what Christ wants to bring alive in his disciples. Amen. Because it is amazing what can happen when I learn the power of asking. It means continually. It doesn't mean vain repetition. No. It means that I continue to take it to God. I continue to listen to God. I continue to be strengthened by God until the answer comes. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus taught about importunity. A lot of times a wicked judge won't avenge this little lady because it's the right thing to do. But if she keeps coming back, he's going to go ahead and do it. He should have done it in the first place because it would have been the right thing to do. It don't always work that way in society. But Jesus was letting us know your heavenly Father is far greater than that. And when you start coming in faith and you start coming in allegiance and you start coming with a desire to know the will of the Father for this situation, hallelujah, woo, to hear guidance, to hear direction, to hear what God really wants done, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. But if Jesus is just on the side and prayer is just something we do and we really, really, really can't do it ourselves, because we are living in a society right now that we are so dependent upon what we can do, what we can learn, and how well we can perform with it, that we're missing out on what God really wants to do in our lives. Hallelujah. And so it's amazing what can happen when importunity is a condition of our prayer. E.M. Bounds said importunity is a condition of prayer. We are to press the matter, not with vain repetitions, but with urgent repetitions, desire. We repeat not to count the times, but to gain the prayer. We cannot quit praying because heart and soul are in it. Yeah, that's, in other words, it's the focus, it's the desire. We pray with all perseverance. We hang to our prayers because by them we live. Do we pray like our life depends upon it? Or do we just pray because we know we're supposed to? I'm letting you think about it. Hallelujah. We hang to our prayers because by them we live. We press our pleas because we must have them or die. Whoa. Do we pray like our spiritual life depends on it? Because in reality it does. Because there will be no life if I'm not interested in desiring the lordship of Jesus Christ. There is no life, only death. Life is only there when Christ is there, ruling and reigning, leading and guiding, and we are on a continual asking, seeking, and knocking for him to be made stronger in our hearts, our minds, our souls. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Could have had a piano player, please. Amen. Glory to the King. It's amazing what can happen when God's directive of prayer is pursued with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. This is a shaking message. This is a message that has to be laid hold of in the hour we're living. But whether we realize it or not, we may not make it. Because if we become more dependent upon ourselves than we do God, more likely we won't make it. Because you're not just going to casually fall into heaven. You're going to make it to heaven by striving to enter in the straight gate, the narrow way that leads to eternal life. That's not just your salvation experience. That's your entire Christian life. You got to be striving for the straight way, the narrow way, the Lordship of Christ way. You've got to be striving to produce a prayer life that produces change in your life. And because of the changes in your life, it is going to change the lives of others around you. See, we're always interested in God trying to change other people's lives, which is a good thing. But we are not near as interested in God changing our lives as we ought to be. Because it always starts with us first before it will ever reach out to others. If we're always trying to not deal with ourselves, but we want to see God do things for others, it ain't gonna work. No. You got to deal with it right here. Right here in this temple. First and foremost, I've got to walk with God. I've got to ask. I've got to seek. I've got to knock. I've got to have it in my life. Because it's the only thing that'll bring life. Oh, God of heaven, I praise you. Then it's going to go out to you as a congregation. But in your home, it starts with the authority in that house. And if that authority will not walk uprightly, that authority will not pray, that authority will not present God's word to his household, he cannot blame anybody but himself if his household's in disarray. He cannot. Can't blame it on a church, can't blame it on a preacher, can't blame it on a pastor. No, that's not where the blame's going to fall. It's going to fall right there where it belongs, on the authority. Yeah, is there a man in the house? Is there a man in the house who will rise up and ask and seek and knock, hallelujah, until God comes down right there in your house? Oh, God. Woo, let's stand together here this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we magnify your holy name. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, your kindness, your love that you show unto us, oh God. Oh Lord, you're leading us, you're guiding us, you're showing us your holy ways. Oh God of heaven, I want to hear, I want to see, Lord, I want to do. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Glory, glory. Amen. Right there where you're standing, just lift your hearts, lift your voices. Hallelujah. Let your requests be made known unto God. Ask and seek and knock. Hallelujah. Oh, God of heaven, I want this message, Lord. I want it burned in my heart. I want it burned in my mind. I want it burned in my soul, God. Hallelujah, Lord. For I want to see great things done for your kingdom, for your glory. I want to see the lost saved. I want to see bodies healed, God. I want to see the will of God accomplished. God of heaven in my life. Oh, Shalaburio, Talabo, Rondelabo, Rabo, Shalabake. Oh, blessed be the King. Oh, glory. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for redemption. Thank you, Lord, for the great salvation. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Ghost. Thank you for the gift of your word. You've given us so much. God, hallelujah. You've given us the great advantage over sin, the great advantage over the world, God. The power of the blood, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of your word. Hallelujah. The power of choice. Hallelujah. Shura boria talabarara ba shalaba cave. Mario televio raba shalabaranda lava cave. And Lord, we're choosing you. We're choosing you. Lord, we want you to be the main desire of our heart, the main focus of our lives. Hallelujah, that we could see your glory fresh and anew, God. Oh, hallelujah, in a greater measure, a greater way. Lord God, building our faith, our confidence, Lord, in your will. Not my will, God, but your will be done, God. Shorabari. Gloria televora bashalavake Mario televoria bashalavori andalavake Mario televia shalavori andalavake tobo shalavake. Praise your name, God. Praise your name. Hallelujah to the King. Hallelujah to the King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Lord, that you are so mindful of us. Oh, Lord, that you want to hear from us. Oh, Lord God, that you want to work in us. Hallelujah. And you want to work through us, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord God, just fresh and anew, Lord God, I commit my heart to you. I commit my mind to you. I commit my soul unto you. Lord, it belongs to you. I have been redeemed, purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, God, and I want to be, Lord, what you want me to be. And I want to do what you want me to do, God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Shalom.
Let the words you've spoken and the cross, Lord, you've chosen.
Hallelujah, just obey the Lord here this morning, church. Hallelujah, some have come to the altar of prayer. Oh, glory and honor and praise. Oh, be given to our God. Hallelujah, whose ways are perfect. Glory.
Let the words you've spoken.